Good morning to our Grace Life Bible class. In our lessons this month, we've been looking at developing a heart of thanks by looking at our senses, our sight, our hearing, taste, and smell, and not taking them for granted. So let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Glory. And we just pray that your Holy Spirit would open to us your word and teach us as only you can. And we give you thanks. Amen. Our whole body is a creation of God, fearfully and wonderfully made, as it says in Psalm 139:14. Today we're going to look at the whole body joined and knit together, working in unity, using the input of our senses as we go about the lives God has given us. Let's take a look in 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. And it starts as, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, or whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body,' is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body,' is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' or again, the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which are deemed less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it." This is a beautiful analogy we see here in Scripture of our body compared to the church body, the body of Christ. Notice verses 12 and 13. It says, "One body and one spirit." Verse 14, "The body is not one member, but many." Remember just how complex our senses were when we looked at those. Just think of all those things working together. And then we see verse 15 through 17. I'm not a. This is grumbling and complaining. And we see this can be the start of division. Do we remember what it says in Philippians 2:14? Some people call this the mother's prayer. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Remember, all means all. And then verse 15 in Philippians 2, we see our purpose statement. "We have the reason, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." This is your testimony before the world. It's so important. Now back to 1 Corinthians 12. If we look at verse 18, did you notice this is God-given order? He placed the members just as he desired. Verses 19 through 24. Note the description of their God-given place and position. And verse 25, we have the purpose statement, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members have the same care for one another. And verse 26, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. I remember one spring cleanup the church had. There were a lot of jobs that were pretty arduous, cutting wood and heavy gardening and digging and others. And after John Zimmer's message the next day, we all stood up and we all groaned within us. We all felt each other's pain and stiffness. And this is a picture of one body. Now, in verse 27, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Remember, we're his slaves serving him. Let's take a look at a story in the Word of God that has disunity in it to contrast with unity, and I think it will help us have a better picture of unity. Let's take a look in the Old Testament at Numbers 13, starting at verse 17. Numbers 13. And we'll read into chapter 14. And this is where the spies are sent out. And when Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, he said to them, go up there into the Negev, and then go up into the hill country and see what the land is like, and whether the people who live in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and how is the land in which they live? Is it good or bad? And how are the cities which they live? Are they like open camps or fortifications? How is the land? Is it fat or is it lean? Are there trees in it or not? Make an effort to get some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob at Laboth-hath. And when they had gone up into the Negev, they came to Hebron, where Shishai and Talmi, the descendants of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two men with some of the pomegranates and the figs. And that place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the sons of Israel cut down from there. And when they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they were brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Elimelech is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are living in the hill country, and the Canaanites are living by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size. There also we saw the Nephilim, and the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, so that we were in their sight. Then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become plunder. Would it be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces in the presence of all the assembly and the congregation of the sons of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and spoke to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us, and do not fear them." But all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of the meeting to all the sons of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst? And I will smite them with pestilence and dispossess them, and I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by your strength you brought up this people from their midst. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, and they have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen eye to eye, while your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if you slay this people as one man, then the nations who have heard of your fame will say, 'Because the Lord could not bring this people into the land which he promised them by oath, therefore he slaughtered them in the wilderness.' But now I pray, let the power of the Lord be great, just as you have declared. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I pray, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your loving kindness, just as you also have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now." So the Lord said, "I have pardoned them according to your word. But indeed, as I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. And surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs, which I have performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurned me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites live in the valleys. Turn tomorrow and set out to the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me. Surely you shall not come into the land which I swore to settle to you, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And your children, however, whom you said would become prey, I will bring them in, and they will know the land which you have rejected. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds for 40 years in the wilderness, and they will suffer for your unfaithfulness until your corpses lie in the wilderness, according to the number of the days which you spied out the land. 40 days for every day you shall bear your guilt, a year, even 40 years, and you will know my opposition. So we see quite a picture of disunity. We see in verse 17 of chapter 13, Moses sends them to spy out the land and gives them instructions in verses 18 to 20 of what they were to look for. In verses 21 through 24, we see descriptions of where they went. And did you notice the size of the cluster of grapes? This is a huge cluster of grapes. Verses 25 through 29, they report back. And then verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." And we see his trust in God. Verses 31 through 33, the other spies' excuses, and we see what all they had forgotten that they had seen. The parting of the Red Sea, they had forgotten the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud, the manna, the quail, and water from the rock. In chapter 14, 1 through 4, they grumble and complain against God and Moses. In verses 5 through 9, we see Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb say that we worship a holy God and how great our God is. They say the Lord is with us and do not rebel against the Lord. The congregation in their disunity says to stone them with stones. Then the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the sons of Israel. I'm sure this was a very impressive sight. Although it doesn't say much here, but this is an amazing thing that God just appears to all of them. And did you notice it says all? In verses 11 through 19, we see Moses' heart for his people. In chapter 14 there, in verse 20, the people have seen God's signs and his glory and tested God's graciousness. None of those who spurned me shall enter the land sworn to their fathers, except Joshua and Caleb. And verse 29, your corpses will fall in this wilderness, the numbered men, 20 years old and upward, who grumbled against me. This is a lot of men. If we look back at Numbers 1:46, we see this is 600,000, 3,550 men. And it says that your corpses will fall in the wilderness. This is repeated three times in verses 29, 32, and 35. And all will wander in the wilderness 40 years. We see in verses 36 and 37, the results of grumbling, complaining, and disunity. We've seen a picture of disunity. Let's look at some pictures of unity in Scripture. Let's look in at Acts 1, 11 through 14. Acts 1. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and Judas, the son of James. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. So we see in here, they had witnessed Jesus being taken up from them into heaven. They returned to an upper room where they were staying. And did you note, these all with one mind, we see a picture of unity. Thank you, by the way. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit given. And if we read verses 41 through 47, as Acts chapter 2. Then those who received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness, sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day. Those who were being saved. Such a picture of unity we see, such a picture here. And we see Peter's sermon and the Holy Spirit moving in hearts. And 3,000 souls were added. Notice what they were devoting themselves to: the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And in verse 46, note the with one mind. Unity is a very precious thing. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Someone once said, "Without personal holiness, there's no hope for the church body." Think about it. If you're not working to be more like Christ, living a godly life, how can we have unity? We're one body working together for the glory of God, shining as lights together in a dark world. The Apostle Paul, in many of his epistles, exhorts believers to unity. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you may be made complete in this same mind and in the same judgment." Philippians 1:27 says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And Peter in 1 Peter 2 and 3 talks about godly living, our Christ and Christ our example. In chapter 3, 8, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit." As parents, it's a delight to see our children playing together, getting along, whether it's a board game or some outdoor sport or a project you ask them to do. It's truly fun to watch them work together. It reminds me of a verse in Proverbs 30:29, "Three things that are stately in their march." And verse 30, "A king when his army is with him." Unity of a group is a beautiful thing to see. The whole body joined and knit together, working as one. I once saw a video of an Amish barn raising. The picture of working together in unity is a sight to behold. One main leader and several foremen in their areas of expertise, each leading the members of their group to a common goal of building the barn. The common goal of being a shining light for Christ. How do we do that? We need to look at Romans 12. Verse 1 is key to it all. Present your body a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Verse 2 says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be in the Word of God daily to renew our mind, especially in a world going wrong daily, redefining words to try to wipe God out of their thinking. And the rest of Romans chapter 12 talks about Christian living and how we need to live as Christ, our example. One time, Patty and I went to a basketball game where a friend was coaching, and his team was losing by 12 points. Each of his players was playing the way he wanted to play and not listening to the coach telling instructions. He called time and took all his best players out and put five lesser players in, and we heard him say, "Listen to me." And in less than 5 minutes, they were tied and went up by 15 later and won. The whole place saw what happened when a team works together following directions. And it was a lesser experienced team working together in unity. It was truly a picture to behold. We're called to be Christ-like, to be moving up and to the right, as our pastor says, in our Christ-likeness. We've been looking at developing a heart of thankfulness this month. Is it possible to develop a heart of thanks if we're grumbling and complaining? Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Did you notice the word imitators? How does that happen? Our senses come into play. Watching with our eyes and listening with our ears. Most of us have seen children imitate their parents, the same tone of voice and same actions. By watching and listening, they mimic their parents' actions. Are we being imitators of Christ? Let's look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, and just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So there we see. Did you notice in verse 1, notice your calling. And verse 2, we see traits of Christ's likeness. Verse 3 talks about diligence to preserve unity. Diligence means to work at the goal, part of running the race, as Paul says. And verses 4 through 6, we are one in Christ. And verse 7, we've been given different measures of gifts, are you using your gifted area in the body of Christ? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You have to be close to sharpen one another, to see each other's eyes, to hear each other's voices. There's those God-given senses coming into play again. Those of you watching on live stream, we miss you. You are part of our body, and we miss your interaction. You're an encouragement to us, and we're an encouragement to you. Ephesians 5:19 through 21 talks about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. We, the church body, need to hear your singing. We need to hear your melody with your heart to the Lord. We're to be encouragers to one another. Let's take a look at Psalm 34, 1 through 5. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, follow along with me. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear of it and rejoice. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Let's work together in unity as we grow in Christ, serving our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the senses you have given us, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made, our whole body joined and knit together. We thank you for our church body. May we serve you daily with a whole heart and be moving up and to the right in our Christ-likeness. And may we always exalt your name together. We give you thanks. Amen.